face the consequences? Or do I try to cover it up a bit more? Now, I'm sure the depth of the pit that you've dug for yourself is going to factor into that decision. The deeper it is, the more you're going to try to cover it up. But even then, if you just told the truth the whole time, you never would have got to that awful fork in the road in the first place. So I guess just life is a story, it's a journey, and it's a complex one at that. We are made up more by the little decisions that we make every day than it is by the big decisions that we have to make every now and then. I guess becoming a Christian, it's not like hopping on a train and the train's just going to get us to the destination. It doesn't really matter what we do, we're going to get there as long as the train doesn't fall off the rails. And ultimately, the only question then that's important is, are you on the train or not? Being a Christian, it's a bit more complex than that. Being a Christian is also something we don't do alone. So whichever direction we're heading in, others will see us, and they will be drawn in the same direction as us too, one way or the other. We like to think it's as easy as getting on a train and then just waiting till the train gets to its destination, but it's just not that easy. I mean, that's a long introduction, ultimately, just to say why studying a book like Proverbs is so important. Because Proverbs is focusing on these little everyday decisions that we make, the day-by-day interactions that we have with other people, and how we can make those little decisions which are going to set us on a heavenward trajectory. We're not always going to get it right. Sometimes we'll take a step back. Sometimes we'll turn in a direction we didn't want to go. But when we do that, it's important that we confess that failure to God and anyone else that we need to confess to and ask forgiveness. But then just recommit ourselves to living Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Recommitting to lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us and run the race with endurance that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. To turn back to our heavenly goal of being with Jesus and running after him afresh. And I guess as we've been working through the Proverbs, we do that in our day-to-day lives by controlling our anger, doing what we can to live at peace with everyone, not telling lies or anything else that's going to run other people down. So controlling our tongue, relating to others out of humility, considering them more important than you, rather than out of pride and thinking that other people around you need you and your experience and your opinions. So I guess as we turn to our last topic in the book of Proverbs, let's look at these Proverbs as little signposts in our life's journey that point the way to heaven and direct us away from hell. So let's pray now as we turn to it. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. As it says in Psalm 119, it is truly a lamp for our feet and a guide for our path. Father, we thank you that you have brought us on this path. You've given us a new story. You've given us a new journey where we have hope of finding you at the end. And we thank you that your word gives us the signposts that we need to find where you are. And so, Father, we pray that as we read this word this morning, that you would help us to see these signposts, you would help us to hear what you are saying to us, that we might turn, that we might fix our eyes on you and run after you with every fibre of our being. And so we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I guess as I just said, this will be our last sermon in the series on Proverbs. Part of our vision here at Gympie Baptist is to be a growing and compelling community of disciples of Christ. And so we've been focusing on Proverbs that talk about how we can live in community together wisely. And so we've been working through this series just to help us move towards that vision. For next week, we'll start a series called Know and Tell the Gospel. Because as a church, we want not only to know what the gospel is and believe it, we also want to be able to tell it to others, ourselves. And so leading into Christmas, we might, you know, get more chances to tell others what we believe. And so hopefully by doing, you know, this sermon series, you know and tell the gospel, we'll be in a better place to actually tell it when that opportunity comes. So, you know, please join us for that series. That'll start next week. But today we're focusing on Proverbs that talk about speaking and listening. Now, I know there's some overlap with some of the things that we've talked about already. You know, when you speak, don't use it to take your anger out on others. Don't use your words to run others down. Don't tell lies and falsehood. Don't listen to what wicked people are telling you. So yes, there is a bit of overlap, but there's still quite a few proverbs that we haven't covered either. And so so we'll round out our series just looking at some of these other ones that we haven't covered yet. But for the moment, so we'll talk about speaking and listening, but for the moment we'll focus on speaking. Now, picking up on that idea that life is a journey, what we choose to say has a great impact on setting, you know, the trajectory of our course. I mean, Proverbs 18:21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." You know, the words we say have power to direct us towards heaven and life, or hell and death. I mean, it's hard to overemphasize just how important the words we say to others are. And we've already talked about a number of the kind of words that lead to death: angry words, fighting words, slander, gossip, lies. All these kind of things are setting our lives in a direction where ultimately we don't want to go. The Proverbs also mentions, you know, another kind of speaking that's just not really helpful. One of the ones that we haven't covered so far in this series, and that's chapter 18, verse 2, which says, "A fool does not delight in understanding, but only wants to show off his opinions." I mean, have you ever come across someone who lives that statement that's on that mug there? And, you know, you say one sentence about some topic, and then for the next 10 minutes, you're bombarded with opinions about that topic, but not just that topic, but, you know, or this, that, and the other. And if at any point you disagree with one of those opinions, then the monologue becomes a full hour of why their opinions are right and everything else is wrong. And maybe you just happen to say something like, "I'm just really struggling with parenting today." And then rather than try to understand what your actual struggle is, what you get is lots of opinions about how to raise children properly. And they tell you how they raised all of their 23 children in a way that sounds like that it was heaven on earth in that home. And all the children are now out there living successful lives. And the whole world is a better place because of their family. And what would actually cause world peace if everybody actually did the same thing as they did? Anyone? But, you know, it might not be parenting. It could be anything else, you know, people have opinions about. And if it's happened to you, I've got a question for you. Was it ever helpful? Did you ever walk away thinking, "Wow, that person had no idea what my actual issue was, but now I've learnt so much and I'm so much wiser from all those opinions that I've just heard"? And I'm seeing a few chuckles around there, so I'm guessing that your answer is no. I mean, someone told me once, you know, their wife was diagnosed with terminal cancer. It got to the point where it was like, yeah, well, there's only a few months now. I mean, she's passed away many years ago now, the particular person I'm thinking of. They'd made peace with the fact that that's just where it was up to, and that's the way it was going to go. But when they shared that news with other people, you know, lots of people thought that that would be a great time to tell her their opinions about all sorts of weird and wonderful remedies which she needed to do, which was going to heal her. Do you think any of those opinions were actually encouraging at the time? Well, no, they weren't. You know, sure, the people were well-meaning, but it wasn't what she needed at the time. And if they actually took the time to sit with her and ask her what she needed, they would have found that out really quite quickly. I mean, so based on this proverb, we need to be really careful about, you know, sharing our opinions about things, especially when no one is asking to hear them. someone shares what they're that they're struggling with this, or they're not sure what to do about that, look, 10 times out of 10, you're going to be way better off in that moment to say, oh, really? Okay. Can you tell me about that? You know, what's happened? What's making you feel that way? What can I do to help? 10 times out of 10, you'll be way better off asking those questions, seeking understanding, than saying, oh, you're struggling with this. Let me tell you what you need to do right now. This, that, and the other. I mean, look, I'm sure you mean well when you say it, but I mean, just as I've been reading the room now, like, it's probably pretty unlikely that it's going to be helpful in the time. And chances are the person isn't one going to open up to you again. But, I mean, so just taking a step back from that particular idea. I mean, this is something that I've kind of been meaning to say a couple of times. I just haven't quite got there yet. But as we've been looking through the Proverbs, we've seen all kinds of unhelpful ways that people talk to each other. I mean, something I guess we can take away from all of it, and all the unhelpful speech, is this. You know, if someone slanders you, if someone gossips about you, if someone tells lies about you, you know, they don't ever listen to you, but they give you your opinions, they give you their opinions about everything all the time, or they just talk to you in a way that they're trying to bait you into a fight. Most of the time, it's not about you. Sure, you might have done something or said something that made it worse than what it could have been, but if people are responding in those sort of ultimately destructive ways, it's really saying a lot more about the kind of person they are than what it says about you. Now, if you've done nothing to provoke it, but people are engaging in these kind of destructive things against you, it's saying much more about them than what it's ever saying about you. I mean, it still hurts when people do it. Sometimes you just have to leave it in God's hands, how, you know, other people are going to respond to it, what other people are doing. But ultimately, it's not something you have to beat yourself up about, because it's not you. But what it does do is it gives you a pretty clear indication of how close you want to be to that person and how much you want to keep that relationship going in the future. So I guess, you know, summing up this one, yeah, we can speak in destructive and unhelpful ways, and we should avoid doing that ourselves. You know, it charts a course for us somewhere where we don't want to go, and somewhere where we don't want to bring others along with us as well. But also, if we see people speaking like that, you know, we need to respond wisely as well. You know, which throughout the Proverbs generally means you don't listen to it, avoid those kind of people. So if that's the kind of stuff that we don't say, what should we say then? I mean, most of us have a quota of words that we need to say each day. Some have a bigger quota than others, and it's really hard to get rest at night until we've said that quota of words during the day. So, I mean, if we are actually going to speak, what do we say? As the wisdom of Proverbs says, if we are going to speak, you know, speak in a way that speaks life and healing. Speak in a way that imparts real, you know, godly wisdom and knowledge, you know, in a manner that's full of all the fruits of the Spirit. Look at these Proverbs with me. You know, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Yeah, when righteous, hopefully you can read those at the back there. But, you know, that's Proverbs 10, verse 11. When the righteous speak, you know, life comes out. Proverbs 10, verse 31, the mouth of the righteous produces wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is appropriate, but the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse. In Proverbs 12, verse 18, The tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 13, verse 3. The one who guards his mouth protects his life, and the one who opens his lips, but the one who opens his lips invites his own ruin. We'll fill that idea out a little bit later. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A gentle answer turns away anger. Okay, gentleness, speaking with gentleness. But a harsh word stirs up wrath. Proverbs 15, verse 4. A tongue that heals is a tree of life, but a devious tongue breaks the spirit. So I guess when we do speak, speak these words which are going to be life and healing. Not all those other ones that we talked about which are going to run people down. I mean, another big idea in the Proverbs is that because there is power for life and death in the words that we say, don't speak flippantly. Don't just fill up your daily word quota by blurting out whatever comes to mind and babbling. Yeah, stop and think about what you're going to say and speak carefully and thoughtfully. Because if you just talk for talking's sake, chances are it's not going to end up well. I mean, look at these proverbs with me. So go for quality, not quantity of words. Yeah, so I've got Proverbs 10, verse 8. A wise heart accepts commands, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. Proverbs 10, verse 19. When there are many words, sin is unavoidable. But the one who controls his lips is prudent. Proverbs 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge attractive, but the mouth of fools just blurts out foolishness. Proverbs 15, 28. The mind of the righteous person thinks before answering, but the mouth of the wicked just blurts out evil things. The one who has knowledge, 17 verse 27, the one who has knowledge restrains his word, and the one who keeps a cool head is a person of understanding. 18 verse 7, a fool's mouth is his devastation, and his lips are a trap for his life. On the other hand, 21 verse 23, the one who guards his mouth and keeps his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. I mean, just more variations on this theme. 29 verse 20. Do you see someone who speaks too soon? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Which, you know, when you're reading through Proverbs, there's not a lot of hope for a fool. And so, yeah, that's saying there's not a lot of hope for that person at all. I mean, finally, we get 20:19. Avoid someone with a big mouth. Because as we've seen in some of these other proverbs, something's going to come out at some point which is going to hurt you. So I guess the next time someone says something and you want to tell them exactly what you think about it, just try to discipline yourself to stop, take a deep breath, think, are these things that I'm about to say, are these things going to be helpful? And if you stop and think about it for a moment and you realize, no, it's not going to be helpful, then don't say it. But while you're stopping to think about what you could say that will help. Because saying the right thing at the right time is such a blessing. I mean, I'm sure we all know that. I mean, we've got these proverbs. We've got these proverbs here. Proverbs 15, verse 23. A person takes joy in giving an answer and a timely word. How good is that? 16:24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the taste and health to the body. A word spoken at the right time is like gold apples in silver settings. And I mean, I hope that, yeah, as we've read some of those, you're just thinking in your own life of sometimes where someone has just said just the right thing at just the right time, and you're just going, yeah, gee, that was like, you know, gold and silver. That was great. That was so helpful. Because, I mean, those times when someone says just the right thing at just the right time, it is life-giving. I mean, as we said a couple of weeks ago, words were meant to give grace, to give life, to build up. And so I guess it's important that we stop and think about what we're saying. I mean, both the content of what we're saying, that it's actually going to be helpful, but also we need to be mindful of the context and the timing as well. I mean, sometimes you can have the right thing to say, but it's just not the right time. And even then, when we do have the right thing to say, we do need to stop and think about whether it really is the right time to say it. Because even if we say the right thing at the wrong time, it's not going to be taken well, which is kind of the big idea there in 27:14. If someone blesses his neighbor with a loud voice early in the morning, it will be counted as a curse to him. So, I mean, if you come over to my place at 3 o'clock in the morning and start yelling out the front saying, "What a beautiful day!" Yeah, I can't promise I'm going to take it as a blessing. Let's just put it that way. And I mean, this is particularly true sometimes, especially when people are mourning. Like, sometimes when people are mourning something, they don't necessarily want you to say anything. They just want you to be there. I mean, Job was comforted by his friends for 7 days before anyone said anything that was recorded. And I guess the way that the rest of Job pans out, those 7 days of silence were probably more helpful for Job than the 8th day when they started opening their mouths. It started getting messy there. I mean, and so, yeah, like, so sometimes silence is even more wise than talking. I mean, we've got, it's a different sort of context, but I think the idea is there, is in 17:28, even a fool is considered wise when he keeps silent, discerning when he seals his lips. So there's a Mark Twain quote, which is, I think, a pretty fair paraphrase of this one, where he says, "It's better to keep your mouth closed and let people think that you're a fool than to open it and remove all doubt." So it's quite interesting that, you know, Proverbs is actually really full on on, you know, being quiet and restrained in your words as much as you can. So, I mean, Proverbs tells us, to be careful, thoughtful about what we say, not just for the sake of talking, but, you know, for exercising restraint over what we say, you know, both so that what we say will be helpful, but also that what we say will say it at the right time, so it'll be taken in the right way. But I guess something that's also really important in the Proverbs is listening. And yeah, we're not going to spend as much time on listening as what we did on speaking. Randall touched on, you know, a big theme that comes through the Proverbs last week when he said that wise people are humble people, and a characteristic of humble people is that they're willing to listen to advice. And there's a heap of Proverbs we could go on that one, but here's just a few. 19 verse 20. You know, listen to counsel and receive instruction so that you may be wise later in life. In 19:27, if you stop listening to correction, my son, you will stray from words of knowledge. 25 verse 12, a wise correction to a receptive ear is like a gold ring or an ornament of gold. So, I mean, I'm not going to labour this point because we brought it up last week as well, but if, you know, someone wise and godly has a word for you expressed in grace and love, yeah, but it's a word for you of correction or rebuke, it is worth listening to and thinking about it and taking on board as much as you can. You know, not only will wise people, you know, listen to counsel and correction when it comes to them, but wise people also seek it out. You know, wise people know that they don't know everything. They know that they have a lot to learn. They know that other people can offer perspectives that they might not have ever thought of. And so wise people will search for wisdom and godly counsel. Again, widely. Proverbs 18 verse 15 says, the mind of the discerning acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise, you know, seeks it. You know, not just waiting for it to come to us, but to go out and seek after it. Wise people know that, what have we got, 15 verse 22, plans fail when there is no counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. If I just try to make it up and all by myself and not actually ask anybody who knows what it's talking about, chances are it's not going to go well. But if we talk to people who know what they're talking about, we've got much more chance that it's going to succeed. Yes, and lastly, I mean, have you ever spoken to someone and they tell you everything that they think about something, and then they stop for a moment? But when they stop and you start talking, you soon find out that even though they're not talking and you are, they're not listening to you. What they're doing is they're just taking a break in their talking because they need to stop for a bit and think about what they're going to say next. And what they say next has got pretty much absolutely nothing to do with anything that you just said. Has anyone had that experience? Yeah, it's not very helpful, is it? I mean, it's not surprising. I mean, we've got Proverbs 18:13 there as well. You know, the one who gives an answer before he listens, it's foolishness. It's disgrace. I mean, so if we're going to be wise people, if we're going to grow into a compelling community here at church, we'll be people who are thoughtful about what we say. We'll give words that build up and give grace, and that we'll say them at the right time. But also, we'll be a people who listen. You know, listen to wise, godly counsel and correction, but even seek it out to hear it rather than think that we've got it all sorted ourselves. But you know, we'll also be people who listen to each other when we're talking. We look at people and think, you know, I'm called to love that person, and to do that, I need to understand them. So I need to ask questions and actually listen. And then when I listen, I might hear from them how I can care for them. You know, we don't look at other people and think, you know, these are people that I can influence. I don't really care what they have to say as long as they hear what I've got to say. When they say a small thing, before you've asked them any questions about it, before you've sought to understand what they mean or where it's coming from, before you've had a chance to actually listen to them and understand their heart, you've already got an answer for them, and you just keep bombarding them with that answer until you think they've got it. Ultimately, I guess, we don't use other people to puff ourselves up at their expense. We'll listen to them in love. We'll expend some of our effort so that they feel built up. And as we come to the end of this talk, I mean, as we come to the end of this series in the Proverbs, my mind's drawn to a paragraph that's at the start of the book that we're working through in the Caring for One Another training course. The paragraph says, you know, imagine an interconnected group of people who entrust themselves to each other. You can speak of your pain and someone responds with compassion and prayer. You can speak of your joys and someone shares in them with you. You can even ask for help with sinful struggles, and someone prays with you, offers hope and encouragement from Scripture, and sticks with you until sin no longer seems to have the upper hand. You know, there's openness, friendship, freedom, bearing burdens together, giving and receiving wisdom. No trite responses. No unhelpful responses. And Jesus is through it all. Yes, my hope for this series is that if we take on board what Proverbs is saying to us about how we can live in community, if we take on board this ancient wisdom for our modern community, then we'll become more like that kind of community in that paragraph. Interconnected, trusting. We'll listen to each other, respond in helpful ways, because we know each other, we know how to help, we know what they actually need. But if we're going to become that kind of community, it's going to take all of us. You and me, we're going to need all of us to control our anger. We're going to need all of us to control our tongues. We're going to need to work to live at peace with each other. To be careful and thoughtful when we talk. We're going to need to take the time and put in the effort to listen to each other, to know each other, and approach each other from a place of humility. Now, all of us will need to play our part in that. But just, if we did, just imagine the kind of community it would be if we all worked towards it, if we were all on board with that. Certainly the kind of community that I want to be a part of, and the kind of community I'm sure that you want to be a part of as well. I mean, let's pray now that more and more the community that we would have here would be that kind of community. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for these proverbs. We thank you that they offer so much wisdom, how we can speak to each other, how we can relate to each other. And yeah, Father, I want to pray now for all of us here that we would truly hear what you are saying to us and that we would take it on board. Father, I pray that as we take it on board, as we live the wisdom of these proverbs, I pray that you'd, you know, fill us, you know, that by your Spirit you'd fill us with, you know, the joy to actually want to live out the wisdom of these proverbs, that, you know, that we would long for the community that we could have when we do, and that we would, you know, that we would play our part within that. And Father, as we all do, as more and more of us live out more and more of the wisdom that's in these proverbs, Father, I do pray that you would be working and that you would be shaping this church community here into, that you would grow it into a compelling community, the kind of community that we all know that we need, that we all want to be a part of, the kind of community that when others come in, they will see the way that we relate to each other and that they will want to be a part of it themselves. So Father, from today, you know, help us to speak in ways which are helpful. Help us to have the right word at the right time. That when we speak, other people would think, wow, that's like gold and silver. That's just what I needed. Help, may the words that we speak, may we value quality over quantity. But Father, may we also truly listen to each other as well. May we be willing to spend the time to sit down and ask questions and genuinely listen. There's just not so much of that these days. And it's such a blessing when we do feel truly listened to. And yeah. So Father, I guess, yeah, just I pray that when we come to church, when we, you know, just in our day-to-day lives, we, of all the things that we need to do, but we'd look around and we would see the people and our hearts would be drawn, you know, how can I care for this person in this, you know, in this situation? That we'd spend the time to get to know people, to listen to them, so that we might, you know, say and do things for them which are going to be helpful for them and build them up and encourage them, give grace. So, Father, all these things we pray, you know, that you, we ask that you would be at work in us, that your kingdom would come in us and through us, that your will would be done here, that your name would be lifted up and honored as holy, not only in this church, but in this community that's around us as well. And we pray, you know, that you would use us in this great endeavor that you are doing in the world. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So that book that we're going through in the training course, it goes on to say, you know, as we come to Jesus, he is forgiven and washed us so that we can speak openly without shame. He's loved us so that we can love him and others freely. He's given us wisdom and power from his Spirit so that we can help each other in ways that build up and give hope. In his honor and in his strength, we want to grow into a wonderfully independent, wise, and loving body of Christ, one in which we can help each other in times of trouble.